Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. And that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply. Real credit card questions require real people. Someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful, U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover. Exceptionally common sense.
Are you agile, thinking of becoming agile in your career, business, and running a project engagements?
At Agile 17, we can help you unlock great potentials, all thanks to our outstanding Agile Scrum and SAFe trainings, courses that inspire optimal project management capabilities and sustainable performance and excellence, both for employees and organizations. It's affordable, accessible, and available to you. To find out more about Agile 17 services, call 469-235-1904. That's 469-235-1904. Agile 17. We train. Learn and partner.
This is KJ Live.
Yeah!
With Chris Johnson. And Chris is having conversations with influencers in the sports world and entertainment industry. Now here's Chris Johnson.
You're now tuned in to KJ Live. Today's guest on the show is newly named UCLA Athletics Hall of Famer, UCLA basketball legend, Tracy Murray is in the building. T. Murray, what's up, dog?
What's going on, bro? Damn,
man.
Wait, I'm back on KJ Live, man. I'm back, dog. I'm back.
You was one of my first guests. You were one of my best guests. You gave me so much good stuff. You broke it down about Akeem in the locker room with KJ. I mean, the poster. Remember that? I mean, if, hey
that
y'all
funny.
Need.
That was funny, dog. That was really funny.
We had a great episode, man. Now, you were a big reason why the momentum of this thing really started to pick up, man. But, man, let's talk about you for a second, brother. How do you feel about being named a UCLA Athletics Hall of Famer? Does it change the perception that you have of yourself?
You know, and you know this because you have confidence in what you've done in your career and your game. You know where you stand or where you should be. It's a tremendous honor. You know what I mean? It's an honor that you – I mean, how many people go into the Hall of Fame, the same Hall of Fame as Jackie Robinson, Arthur Ashe, John Wooden, your dad, Kareem. I mean, the rest of my Bruin brothers. I mean, Jackie Joyner Kersee. Come on, man. Ann Myers, Drysdale. I mean, like, it's so humbling that it's emotional.
Yes.
You know, you just kind of, like, right now I'm getting goosebumps right now just talking about it, just going through that whole process, and, you know, and finding out to the lead up to the night. As it got closer, I got more and more nervous. I got more and more edgy. I got more and more stressed. And then when you're there and you're sitting there, you're hearing all these great, inspiring speeches. And the last thing you're thinking is, I don't want to mess this up, bro. You know, and then the first thing they did was make a joke about Toby having the record being up there over an hour.
Oh, yeah. Toby, so I was there. I was there for that.
Toby was spitting, huh?
Unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. Toby shouted out everybody, dog.
Yeah, man. You know what, bro? I mean, but that's your moment.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And you don't know if you're going to get that moment again. So you got people up there going off the dome.
Yep.
And I'm like, I'm not a speech reader. I go off the dome too, and I go with what I feel. But I have to have some paper there to make sure I don't forget anybody.
Absolutely.
I got an outline to keep me on track. You know what I mean? I don't have just a full-blown speech. I got an outline to keep me on track. 100. So I wanted to make sure I got, you know, yeah, you know what I'm saying? I wanted to make sure that first and foremost, it was difficult getting me into UCLA because I was an athlete student. I wasn't a student athlete.
Mm-hmm.
So they had, you know, Mike Sonnenheimer had to jump through hoops to get me up in that piece.
Oh, yeah.
You know, on the academic side, and convince people to give me a chance. So yeah. I shouted him out. I shouted Mark Dellens out. I shouted, you know, all of these guys out, Bill Bennett and Steve Rourke, you know, people that made us look good.
Absolutely.
You know, without basketball, without the media, how does the basketball get exposure? You know, all of those people made us look good. So I had to, you know, shout Mike for getting me in school. I had to, you know, through all the ups and downs of academics, you know, him, I had to shout out Mike Casillas for being there when I came back 15 years later, you know, afterwards. And, you know, that's difficult, man, because you're the oldest dude in the class in the morning with the students, the regular students. And then at night, you're the youngest one in the class with all the older old heads. You know what I'm saying? It was an experience, man. But, you know, Mike Casillas helped me through all of that. So, you know, Coach Herrick was there. You know, I had to shout him and the staff out. You know, I shouted all of my teammates out, the M&M boys, you know, all the way through O'Bannon, Tarver, and Edney, and Zedek through to the walk-ons like Lou Richie.
Yeah.
You know, I have an appreciation for them. I shout out the managers and the great Tony Spino, man, because he kept us healthy, bro. So it's like there's a lot of people that, you know, and then, of course, last but not least, you know, your family. That's the one that gets you emotional. That's the one that gets you choked up. We had the Fab Four with me, my mom, my dad, and my brother. It started with that. We're the ones that went through the grind.
Yeah.
We're the ones that went through the whole career thing. But then, you know, we had this was an evening to kind of peel the curtain back a little bit for those who weren't there. My wife, my kids, my son. And those whoever else, my in-laws and everybody else that was at the table, you know, you kind of pulling the curtain back on Tracy Murray, the basketball player, because they didn't know that guy.
Sure.
They know daddy. They know husband. They know, you know, son-in-law. They don't know T. Murray, the basketball player, which is, you know, it was cool to see them all enjoy the evening.
What part of your UCLA experience do you look back upon and it gives you great pride or joy, or you just have like a great, unbelievable feeling on the inside when you think about it? Is there a certain moment? Are there a series of moments? Is there a certain experience associated with UCLA basketball that you look back on at all that gives you that feeling?
Outside of being a husband and a father, and, you know, a family man right now, you know, because this is the best time of my life. I mean, seeing my kids grow up and being there every day. Right now, this is the best time of my life. But the best time of my life before that was UCLA. It wasn't the league. Everybody's thinking it's the league. It wasn't the league. It was UCLA. My 3 years with the guys that I was on the team with, we had a ball, man. And it was, you know, come on, you went through it, bro. You know, it's like you got access to everything being right there. You're going from a boy to a man.
Yeah.
You're making your own decisions really for the first time in your life without parents' influences. You're figuring the shit out.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it's fun figuring it out, bro. You're going to make some mistakes. But it's you're going, it is. But then at the same time, you're going to reel yourself in because you know you got responsibilities. You know you got to stay on a certain path. So, you know, it was fun, man. I have a lot of, like, even not just my teammates, man. The people I went to freshman summer program with, FSP. Yeah. It's like, those are my people to this day. I'm still in touch with them. We go golfing. We go over each other's houses. We chill. Yeah. It's like, I have a special bond, man, with those people I went to school with there.
Absolutely. And when you speak about sort of that time of your life where you're coming of age and you're making your own decisions for the first time and you're figuring it out, and it just so happens we experienced that with the backdrop of Westwood and with UCLA basketball across our chests. So I think our experience is very unique in that sense, in that UCLA Westwood is sort of an epicenter for basketball and athletics and life. So we kind of get used to being treated a certain way when you're in that zone and in that mode. And then like you say, when you talked about the league, well, I have the overseas experience, and UCLA still to this day is the greatest experience. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just to the points that you made, just for that reason, that come of age reason, man, that's awesome. And to see you come full circle and now named a Hall of Famer, bro, I mean, there's no better feeling. Did you ever imagine when you were younger, after you're, 14 years old, you get the hip surgery, you're sitting in your on the hospital bed after your surgery, the doctors are telling you, you may never play basketball again. Mm-hmm. In your wildest dreams, Tracy Murray, did you ever think that you would be on that stage the other night accepting that plaque, brother?
Not at all, because just on a normal sense, not just on a basketball ending sense, not with the hip surgery sense, just on a regular thought process, you're not thinking Hall of Fame when you're out there grinding and you're playing. You're thinking, I want to get to the league, or I want to achieve my dream. Hall of Fame doesn't even come in the mind. Mm. It doesn't even come into the mental picture. You know what I mean? You just start paying attention to Hall of Fame stuff when you're old and done. And
other people start talking about it. Other people start getting it.
You start seeing your peers go in, and it's like, oh, shoot, this might be a possibility of something else.
Yeah.
But in that hospital bed, man, all I was hoping and praying for was a second chance. Somebody patch me up and let me get back out there. I won't take this game for granted again.
Hmm. Yeah, that must, I mean, and you have a very unique career in the sense that 3 years of high school, 3 years of college, mm-hmm. you accomplished in 3 years of high school, you accomplished in 3 years of college what most cats don't accomplish in 5 years. You can redshirt 6 years and don't be top 10 at UCLA and 50% from the three as a senior. I want to talk about the work, and this will be my final thing on your Hall of Fame journey. I want to talk about the work. What did it take? The work, the daily grind, the Tracy Murray grind, the stuff I grew up watching, idolizing, and I implemented in my game. I want you to tell people, though, from your words, what type of work did it take on a daily basis to achieve the heights that you achieved, Tracy?
Well, I'll tell you what, Chris. It's like, you and I remember your grind. I remember yours. And, things that you were doing every day to get right. excuse me. Coming from a hip surgery, you have to learn how to walk all over again. That's humbling, bro. You got to learn how to walk all over again. Mm-hmm. So then you turn a walk into a run. You're running with a limp. So you turn a walk with a limp, run with a limp into run regularly, walk regularly. That's first and foremost. I already had big feet and I was already slow. I wasn't the quickest dude in the world anyway. Mm-hmm. So now I got to work that much harder to be quicker than I was after the surgery. Mm-hmm. So you know how, you know, everybody that's played this game for a significant amount of time has been injured and had to do rehab and come back and all of that. So the rehab back then wasn't like what it is now. Great. So it was different. It was just, it was just, okay, figure this thing out. It wasn't like, okay, do this, do that. We're going to go over this exercise and this is going to strengthen this area up, which is going to strengthen this area up, and then you'll be fine. It wasn't none of that. People are so detailed now with rehab. I didn't have that. So it was just regular stretching, leg weights, jumping the rope.
Stuff you did on your own and kind of figured
out.
My dad
used a lot of old school stuff that he used when he played. Yes, so it was, you know, just regular jump roping, running in the sand, running in the pool, swimming, you know, just to get your legs back strong and right. You know, squats and lunges and, you know, all the old school stuff, bro.
But
I was like a fanatic, though, because I didn't listen to my dad before. I was this chubby kid that had a belly. I can shoot the shit out of the ball, but I couldn't move.
Sounds familiar.
But I used my shooting out here, right? What it is. So I used my shooting was my A. But, you know, once people say all you can do is shoot, what else are you going to do? Especially if you can't move. I can block shots because I'm still long.
Yep.
But I couldn't guard.
Right.
So athleticism, the game was going more and more athletic. When I'm on a team, when I'm 13 years old with a Derek Martin and a Mitchell Butler, and Mitchell Butler was a phenomenal athlete then.
No question.
So when you see that, it's like, boy, I got some work to do. I'm not going to be that athletic, but I got to catch at least get half of his athleticism. So that's when all of the sand workouts and then jumping rope and all of that stuff, you know, to quicken the feet up. Nice. Because I can always run fast forward. But side laterally, I was slow. So, Tyus can tell you how fast I was. The infamous step show night.
What happened?
We're at SC at the Shrine Auditorium, right? So it's you know, it's full in there. It's at capacity. They're not letting us in. The whole squad outside. Me, Ed. And Ed was, you know, he was still hopping around a little bit.
Oh, yeah, his knee was still hurting.
Yeah, his knee, yeah. So, you know, we're all outside, Tarver, Tyus, we all banging on doors trying to get let in, and all of a sudden we hear some shot. So we're up the block.
Yeah.
Ed hurdles this guy in a wheelchair, and his leg is done. Hurdles the guy.
Oh,
crazy, dog. I'm like, damn, Ed hurdled the wheelchair. So we hit that corner. I'm heading up to the – I pass Tyus. Boom. Tyus is like – we get to the end of the block. Tyus is like, damn, T. Murray, I didn't know you were that fast. I said, put a bullet on my – hey.
I know how Tyus was saying it, too. That's why I'm laughing.
I turned to Tyus. I turned the tires out of breath. I said, you put a bullet on my ass. I'm real fast.
Gold. Oh, it reminds me of that old Richard Pryor joke. When he was, turn that hat backwards, man. Hey, Tracy, you know what I'm talking about. Gold. Oh, that's so funny.
So, I mean, running the floor straight on fast breaks, we're running for dunks. So you're hitting that lane, you know. All right, who we going to dunk on next? Our 3-on-2, 2-on-1 drills was a mug, boy, because everybody was trying to bang on somebody.
Oh, legendary. Yes, sir.
So I always could move forward, but side to side, I had to work on that.
Absolutely, man. And you did it, and you got it together, brother. I mean, just congratulations on that career, man. I wanted to move on, talk about this, the current iteration, some Bruins that may one day have their name in the Hall of Fame. This year's team, as of late, have held the last three opponents under 56 points. It seems like they have recalibrated on the defensive end after hitting a bad stretch with a couple of bad losses. What are your thoughts on what has happened defensively for the Bruins to change the tide?
I think they're starting to tune up for March, you know, because I don't know how you felt about the season, but I always felt with in a 30 game season, we don't have that many games, so go hard all the time. Mm-hmm. I think this generation feels like there's always tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? They're watching guys, you know, take breaks in the league, and they feel like they can take nights off. And you don't have that many days in college to be evaluated for the next level to feel like you can take a night off. That's why I don't think they understand. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about from injury. If you're hurt, you're hurt. But yeah. You can't be out there just, okay, I'm not going to get my maximum today. We're going to just walk and win this game. It doesn't work that way in the Pac-12. You're going to get stung.
No, people trying to beat you.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got UCLA across your chest.
Yeah. Come
people
on.
People hate you. So they're going to play their best game against you. And I keep telling people all the time, I don't care if it's an interview or if it's talking to one of these young cats. I'm like, look, fellas, or whoever I'm talking to, we're going to get everybody's best shot. Whether it's Sister of the Poor or Washington State or anybody else, we're going to get their best shot.
Yeah.
Shit, Cal Poly came in UCLA about 7-8 years ago when our program was down and got a W in Poly Pavilion.
Yeah,
why?
I remember.
Yeah, that one of the down times in UCLA history. But why? Because everybody you play is going to get your best shot. The Reeves Nelson, Josh Smith year, we go over to Ontario, out in the Ontario arena over there, and almost lose to San Bernardino because they got a bunch of D1 bounce back, and they gave us their best shot.
Yep.
So it's like you got to put when the lights come on, man. You cross those lines, you got to be ready. You got to have your war paint on already because people are going to give you their best.
And you think Coach Cronin turned up his intensity, turned up his emphasis on the defensive end, or is it something that
he probably did?
Okay.
He probably did because I mean he stresses it all the time and he tells them all the time. But I think the intensity's been up the last like 3 or 4 games. They got to understand that there's no one guy on this team that can say, "Hop aboard, fellas, jump in this backpack, and let me carry you the rest of the way." There's nobody on this team that can do that. I think when UCLA is at their best is when they're holding people in the 50s and they have 5 players in double figures.
Yes.
That's when they're at their best. It's not, you know, 2 guys getting 20-something. It's 5-6 guys in double figures, and they're locking up. That's when they're at their best. That's what took them from the play-in game to the Final Four.
Yeah, I agree with that assessment. I think that from what I've seen as of late versus – early on in the season, I was in Vegas and I watched them up close a couple of times this year. Mm-hmm. I just see an increased sense of urgency on the defensive end. I think people have taken off their cool jackets.
Yep.
Now guys are getting down in the stands. They're trying to pick up 94 feet. They're using their hands. They're talking. Switches are hard and with purpose. Yep. Everybody's doing stuff with purpose. And I'll tell you what, Miles Johnson.
Yeah,
when he plays that big active game, whether it be crashing the glass, trying to get tip dunks, whether it be challenges, showing hard on screens and rolls. But his thing is his motor to me. When he does that, we are hard to beat.
Absolutely.
Obviously, Jalen Clark has really stepped up his level. I wanted to talk about him.
Operation Lockdown, boy. That Edawanda kid, boy.
Bro, that Edawanda kid. And I had a chance to do his game in high school. And I was really sold on him. And I was kind of gassed on him. Because I envisioned him doing what he's doing now on this level. The ability to handle the ball, make decisions is something I thought was underrated about Jay Clark. Mm-hmm. He's one of the most versatile players in the country. What do you think his upside is as far as a player?
I think his upside is huge. The reason why I say it is.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
He competes defensively all the time. I call him the fireman for a reason. He puts out fires. You can be on fire and he'll shift over to you and it's
yes,
done.
Sir. It's done. Extinguished.
Tornado is out. It's out of there. You know what I'm saying? That's why I call him, like when he was coming off the bench and somebody's fire was lit. Yeah. Then comes James. I was like, oh, here come the fireman to put out that fire. And yes, then sir. He does it. He does mm-hmm. it. And mm-hmm. you can see even when he's in the game, he put out the fire. Somebody else light the fire, he goes over to that. It's like he shifts and puts out fires the whole time. Yeah. Now, with a healthy Hawkins and Clark on the floor, that's lockdown city. And Miles active, that's lockdown yeah. city.
Yeah.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
And now, a message from Discover about rewards. If you're a loyal credit card customer, you should be rewarded for your loyalty, preferably with something that's useful, like Cashback Match, for instance. Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Finally, rewards that make sense. Discover. Exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply. And now, a message from Discover about customer service and common sense. When you have credit card questions, it's nice to have them answered by a real person. You know, someone who can actually understand your issues and work to resolve them. In other words, what you don't need is a robot. And that's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. No wonder we call it live customer service. Discover. Exceptionally common sense.
Are you agile? Thinking of becoming agile in your career, business, and running a project engagements?
At Agile 17, we can help you unlock great potentials, all thanks to our outstanding Agile Scrum and SAFe trainings, courses that inspire optimal project management capabilities and sustainable performance and excellence, both for employees and organizations. It's affordable, accessible, and available to you. To find out more about Agile 17 services, call 469-235-1904. That's 469-235-1904. Agile 17. We train. Learn and partner.
Jules doing what he does in his position.
He's a good defender too.
He's solid. He's just solid.
He's struggling offensively, but defensively, he's always there. He's contesting shots. He's always in front of his man. So could you imagine those four guys with Tiger on the floor defensively?
Absolutely. I can imagine it, and I envision it. But then Mick Cronin has some good problems because now you still have a Peyton Watson. You still have a Cody Riley. You still have these other guys at your disposal. And what I've loved about the last 3 to 4 games from the UCLA Bruins is the fact that certain guys have started to get off, and the team seems to be trying to get those guys off. It doesn't seem to be no haterade out there. It seems to be we're going to share the sugar. This is the best. I feel like they've shared the ball. Everybody's sharing
all
the ball.
Year.
Like they're trying
all
to prove year. A point. Everybody trying to prove a point to show everybody we can move the ball. I mean, it's unbelievable, the ball movement, the unselfishness, Tracy, and then the defensive cohesion.
But I'm going to tell you, that people don't understand how important that is when it comes to winning basketball. Because all it takes is one bad, selfish shot or play. And then the other person, all the people being unselfish, look at that shot like, man, what are you? All right, here, bring the ball over here. I'm taking me a bad one now because this dude took like 2 bad ones real quick.
Yeah.
And he get off the pace of what we on.
Yeah.
It's happened to all of our teams in the past. It's happened.
And thank you. And that's the elephant in the room. I think that for us at UCLA, when you're playing alongside so many other talented individuals that are asked to sacrifice their game for the greater good of the team, them shots, you can't be taking no bad shots because now it's going to spread like wildfire. So then my year, we lose to a Princeton because that attitude was prevalent. However, the year prior, we win a championship because sharing the sugar just kind of ran through our whole system. And this year's Bruins, to me, they're sharing the sugar. Now, I have a specific question about Jaime. Jaime is kind of, he's been up with the injuries.
Yeah.
How does he get himself back going? What's the best way, Tracy?
It's tough because, Mick has mentioned, him not practicing. So how do you have a rhythm? It's kind of tough when he's trying to get healthy and he's not practicing, to have a rhythm in the game. It's going to be inconsistent. Because you need those reps. You need that rhythm. You need to be in tip-top shape. Because I don't think when you're not practicing, you're not in tip-top shape. Game shape is different, man. And I think Jaime's explosiveness is not there. He's playing on 2 bad ankles, bro. Both of them are messed up. It's not like one is messed up and, okay, let me go explode off the other.
You can take off on the other leg.
I mean, both of them are messed up. So just his whole – it affects you defensively. It affects you with your shot. It affects you rebounding. It affects you, period, your whole game. And so I think he is trying to learn how to play under the rim right now.
Yeah.
Block out more.
Yeah.
Pursue the ball. In the post. Use your body and shoulders to free up space so you can get your shot off as opposed to bump and explode over.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have that.
Less east to west, shifty, between the legs stuff now, more pump fake, 1-2 bounce, get to
play
a
right
spot.
There. Play with this.
Tracy Murray special, Chris Johnson special, up fake and go. See you guys later. Figure it out. But Tracy, you already know, Tom. Peyton Watson. Hey, Peyton Watson, though.
Yeah.
He's a kid that has so much talent. So much has been said about NBA this and that. I wonder I know that has been something that obviously is on his mind, but I would love to see him just kind of find his groove as we go into March. He still has been contributing. He looks solid when he's out there, struggling a little bit with his shot. I feel like he is going to be essential for a deep March run.
Yeah, but see, what he's got to do is come in and lose himself on the defensive end.
Yeah.
Come out there with Peyton Watt. Come out there with Jalen Clark. Him, Miles. Their length, athleticism, the defensive ability to keep people in front of them and harass them while they're dribbling, their long arms to be able to poke the ball away. That's how he can get involved. He can create turnovers, get into the open court, go get that lob, or throw it to him for a dunk. Boom, and he's ready. Now turn around. That's how he can impact the game. Because right now, he's not a great shooter. He's not strong enough to finish at the rim through traffic. So he's a work in progress. I do love his ball handling playmaking skills because he can go by his guy. Once he decides to go by him, he goes by him and he makes the right play.
With his head up.
He makes the right play. He sees everything. Yeah. So I love that part of him. And that part of him would be like, it would be excellent on the next level because the floor is more wide open. There's people not sitting in the lane, illegal defense. But in this situation where people can play zones or they play that sagging man-to-man where everybody can be in the paint, if you can't knock down a jump shot, how can you get there? So if there's two things that he needs to work on, and I know he's gained 25 pounds, but he's really got to work on strength and just being able to finish at the rim, maybe dunk on some people. And his shot, man, he got to get up 800 to 1,000 shots a day, game speed. Not just, you know, getting them up cool ways, game speed.
Yeah.
Because when you're in games, if you're going game speed outside of the game, then game speed is no problem. And you have your release point together to where you can knock down shots on a consistent basis. But I watch him a lot and I try to talk to him a lot, you know, because I know he's discouraged. I know that he's thinking about the next level. He should only be thinking about an NCAA title right now. One game by game, that's the only thing he should be thinking about right now. But I think there's so much noise outside of the UCLA circle with his family telling league, that he's thinking about that and it's putting excess pressure on him that he doesn't need. He needs to just go hoop right now. There's already enough pressure to play with those four letters across your chest. But now you're thinking about the league too, and you still have stuff that you need to work on. So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, just game speed. If he can practice on game speed.
Absolutely.
The shots in the game
right.
is going to be the same. Your release point is the same. Your shooting is now consistently the same as opposed to taking, you know, the cool warm-up shots. You know, that's not the same shot you're going to be shooting in the game.
I understand.
So how you expect to knock that shot down. So once you understand that work ethic part of your shot, then his shot can be consistent, which is going to open up his driving lanes and his playmaking ability. And his strength being in the weight room is going to help him finish at the rim. Now you got a totally different Peyton Watson. I just think that people outside the circle just need to leave him alone. Let him go through his journey.
Yeah, absolutely. And David Singleton, though, is somebody that I feel like has – the work ethic and has honed his craft and dedicates his time in the gym since I've known him, since he's been about eighth grade. He used to be on the same team as my son. So I got to watch his growth and journey. And what I did know about David, he was going to always be in the gym with his dad at any gym around the country, around the city, around the state. You go see them two getting some shots up probably around 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. And all that work now is paying dividends for him. He has been huge for the Bruins. If he continues to shoot the basketball like this to stretch the floor and be a threat, I think a deep run in March is imminent for the Bruins.
Oh, absolutely. When you have that type of threat coming off the bench and he plays defense and you know, he's real sure with the ball. He's too sure with the ball sometimes to where I'm like, man, you know, loosen up a little bit, you know, try to make a play. But he's not trying to turn the ball over. You know what I'm saying?
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, he's not his form is not conventional. You know, he kind of slingshots that thing, right?
Yeah.
So, but that's his rhythm and that's his shot. I mean, you're not going to get mad at Jamal for that, right?
Not
at
all.
Jamal knocked that down, right?
It's going down.
It was automatic.
Okay. You know?
So it's like he shoots his shot the same way, game speed.
Yeah.
That's why it goes.
Absolutely.
That's the person on the team that he should talk to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Finally, Cody Riley, Tiger Campbell, two pillars of the program, solid guys that play their roles to the T and they sort of lead without really saying too much. Is that an accurate assessment of Tiger and Cody?
I think so. I mean, they lead by their play. Tiger's been a little bit more vocal this year with a certain things. Mm-hmm. But that is accurate. Both of them lead. They don't say too much. They just go out there and they play. I still think Cody's not all the way back yet from that injury at the beginning. And that's, you know, if you rewind the season, injuries, COVID, all kinds of stuff. It just, right when we start getting there, boom, something happened. Right when we start getting there, boom, something happened. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sometimes that's the things that you need to get you over the hump. Now, I still see Cody kind of lumbering up the court. When he was at his best last year, he was a little, his feet were a little bit lighter than they are now. I see him lumbering. He was a little bit light. He was able to step out on pick and rolls, keep guys in front of him. He was able to face people up, knock down the jumper. If they went for it, then he'd go to the hole and spin on them and lay the ball up. Mm-hmm. He hasn't gotten that quickness, and his feet aren't as light as they were postseason last year yet.
Yeah.
So maybe he's not in the shape that he should be in yet. Maybe he's getting there. Maybe he'll get there at the right time. But if he does, to add along with Miles's activity and what he does, Tiger's leadership, knocking down threes this year at a 40% clip, I think that's what was missing from Tiger.
Yeah.
With his jump shooting.
Right.
Now he can do what he can do.
Yeah.
Because you have to honor that.
Yeah. And he's not as much as a defensive liability as he was. He's actually gotten tons better. He's keeping guys in front. He's making the right. He's using his head. He's using anticipation a lot better this season.
Yep.
I think, though, in terms of when we talk about Cody and Jaime, and as far as injuries this late in the season, I feel like they just have to find a groove to where they can contribute however, the best of their ability. I remember my junior year, Tracy, I played with bone spurs in my right foot the whole season. I had a down year, 11 points a game, just a bad 43% from the field, just a bad year. But I was contributing come tournament time because I knew where to get in, where I could fit in, you know, 10 points, 8 points here, 6 boards, play some tough defense, couple of key plays, get a steal here. I think the same could be said for Cody and Jaime. If they're not going to be 100% right now and we still got to play basketball, just find a way to help the team call it a day and keep it pushing. Don't go outside of your game. You know, don't try to be that guy that you were, because you really can't do that same stuff. Take what the defense gives you. Make it easy.
Right. Defend, rebound, take your open shots.
Yep.
And if you put the ball on the deck, anticipating a double team is coming and looking for those guys.
Yes. Be ready to pick it up and pass quickly. It's an art. It's an art form. I had it down. As soon as I did that first dribble, I'm looking for somebody to pass to. I ain't trying to yo-yo.
And you're not trying to split the defenders, because those defenders are coming over quick.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and if you don't have the push-off like you normally do, you're not splitting it. Like, Jaime is used to splitting it.
Yeah.
Now they're getting there and closing the gap. So now he's got to look for people earlier. Cody's used to posting up and spinning fast. That double team is there. And he's struggling with trying to get the ball up on the backboard or find the defender. He might need to face up and jab.
Yeah,
you know, get him up space. Instead of back to the basket, face up and jab.
Keep him off you.
Face up. Now you can shoot.
Yeah.
Now you can see everything.
Yep.
You know, do the Tim Duncan. You know what I mean? Face up. Tim back down when he had to, but he mostly faced up so he can see the double teams coming.
And you're saving energy that way as well, without that shoulder banging and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. You're saving your shoulders. You're saving, you know, everything, bro. I mean, you don't have to lumber up the court as much if you're not carrying people on you in the paint all the time.
Getting tired and shit, you know.
Let me ask you this, Chris, because I feel a certain way.
Go ahead.
How do you feel when your big man is always on the ground?
Gosh, it's a frustrating sight to see, but it just really depends on what type of production. Like, did he just pin it and fall down? Is he getting a tip or deflection? Is he falling down? Did he
none
just
dunk
on somebody and fall down? If he's not doing none of that, he's falling down. Or, get your ass up, bro.
Right. Or if he's taking a charge, you can take that.
I'll take that.
To be wrestling around with somebody or tossing around with somebody and you're always on the ground, I mean, that bothers me because it makes your team look soft if your big man is always on the ground.
It does. It does make him look soft. But, you know, if he's going to be on the ground, we got to figure out a way to maximize that. If we know he's going to be one of them type of dudes, Tracy, that's going to end up on the ground. We got to figure out, be able to get something out of him. He's got to give us 8 to 10 points if he's going to be on the ground. Like, you got to – what is he – like, he can't just be on the ground guy. That's not right, his value to our life, bro.
But this is my question. Is he on the ground for being thrown on the ground? I don't think so. not at 265. I think he's on the ground because of maybe flopping trying to get a call. And they're never gonna allow somebody 6'8", 6'9", 265 to get a flop call on the ground. That's not gonna happen. So you gotta stand your ground and you gotta man up and keep your balance.
Stop,
you
know, hitting the deck.
Right. I mean, I don't think he's playing against too many guys that are heavier than him.
Yeah,
stronger, because I think he's strong.
There's something to be said also for you trying to use your head, trying to play the cat and mouse game, T.
Yeah,
Murray, as you know. And sometimes when you can't get up vertically and you need to, you know, X out that guy or neutralize somebody, you know, that's the flop game. You know, let's get a foul, let's do this. But when you start doing it too much when you end up on the ground 50% of the time, you may want to reconsider that strategy.
Right. And as I say again, it's not the flop game as far as taking a charge. It's like you're getting tangled up with the guy and then you're on the ground. That's the part, because now it's like, okay, you're on the ground. Why isn't he on the ground if y'all were tangled up?
Yeah, y'all both need to be on the ground. Like the mailman and Rodman that time.
There you go.
That's what needs to happen. You pulling me, I'm pulling you, trying to get up. It better be something, because it ain't just me, bro.
Yeah, I tell you what, that Colorado game was a crazy one to watch, because you had him and Batty.
I love Batty.
Both strong bodies, but they both flop like hell. So you still have one flopping at the other end and one flopping on this end, and guys are in danger every time those big two dudes are flopping, because
knees and shins.
Right. It's like it was a mess down there, bro.
Hey, spoken like a true hooper, worried about the knees because you flopping. I mean, that's some real basketball stuff.
You flop,
like,
only and we, now you're gonna hurt me.
And that's I really would be pissed off at a cat, and probably, like, you know, like an Oma Givens or an Ike Nwankwo. If Ike's fall, I'm like, dog, don't, you can't be falling, dog.
Nah, you can't.
Y'all big old 6'11 dude, cause you gonna fall in at my leg and I'm gonna be,
and
you know, MCL.
You know how strong Ike was. He better be on the ground.
And he falling with the arms flailing too. So, you know, it was a whole, my former teammate, Ike Nwankwo. Did you play with Ike too?
Ike was on our visit. I didn't play with Ike. Ike was on our visit. We hosted him.
Yes, sir.
I was gone and Ike came in.
Okay,
shout out to Ike. Big Ike. Ike. That's my man.
Big Ike is in Thailand doing his thing. Tracy.
Shout out to Omar Givens too.
Big O.
Shout out to Omar.
I think Big O is in San Francisco, my man, or up in the Bay Area. Trace, who do you think is the biggest sort of, I guess, threat for the Pac-12 getting that auto bid in the tournament to the Bruins? Which team is the biggest threat?
The biggest threat in the Pac-12 tournament getting the auto?
To the Bruins, you know what I'm saying?
I think it's USC, man. Mm. The reason why I say it, because they're big. They're the biggest team in the nation.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets
you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Just about on the other side of Arizona. We've beaten Arizona before, but we lost to SC the last 5 times. So I think they're the biggest threat because they have their war paint on. They know it's a rivalry game. They know that they're second-class citizens when it comes to basketball to UCLA. It's kind of like UCLA football to them. Why is UCLA football beating them?
Yeah.
Because they have this football tradition, and we're trying to fight for respect. Mm-hmm. It's a flip-flop in basketball. So they're constantly grinding, fighting for respect, even though they're in the top 20 all year. Like, I thought it was unnecessary to storm the court. We're not number one, first of all. Second of all, act like you've won before. You guys been winning for the last few years now. There's no need to storm the court. So, you know what I'm saying? It's like we wouldn't do it to them because we expect to win.
Have we ever stormed the court in Pauley Pavilion against anybody, Tracy? Did you ever get the court stormed?
We did it one time because it was fashionable to storm the court at one point where kids were doing it all the time.
Against who? Who did y'all storm the court
against? I don't remember who we stormed the court against. It was a big win, but it was a top-ranked team. It might have even been Arizona or somebody like that.
Oh, yeah, that's okay.
So we stormed the court.
But it meant something.
But then it you know, of course, we were saying it on the radio. You had people on TV was like, wow, they're storming the court. And then all of us who were on social media was like, why are we storming the court? It's like it just made no sense for us to storm the court because we're doing what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to win at home and we're supposed to handle our business. Because we're UCLA. We're not supposed to be storming courts. The only time you storm a court is a national championship. You know what I'm saying? You know how it is at UCLA. You come in there with the pressure. When you put those letters on your chest, championship or bust. So you win one game during the year and you're going to storm the court?
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
As parents, we've done everything we can to keep our kids safe, happy, and healthy during this pandemic. From finding the best face masks to making sure their hands are clean. And now we have the best tool to help keep them even safer. The most important thing we can do is vaccinate our kids to protect them against COVID-19. Vaccines have been proven safe and effective for children 5 and up. Talk to your child's doctor. Or visit myturn.ca.gov to find a vaccine near you. Brought to you by the California Department of Public Health.
This episode is brought to you by the Disney Bundle. This month, there is something for everyone with the Disney Bundle. On Disney Plus, watch unforgettable stories like The Book of Boba Fett and The Ice Age Adventures of Buck Wild. On Hulu, watch originals like How I Met Your Father and Pam and Tommy. And on ESPN Plus, score big with Our Time, Baylor Basketball, and NHL. Get more of what you love with the Disney Bundle for only $13.99 per month. Includes Hulu ad-supported plan. Access content from each service separately. Terms apply. See thedisneybundle.com for details.
At Vanguard, we know that this is more than just a retirement plan. This is your cappuccino date in Italy, the beach house with the matching bicycles. It's your rental car down memory lane, and weekends reuniting with friends from over the years. This is the future you imagined, and we're here to help you build it. Because at Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. Discover the value of ownership at Vanguard.com. Fund shareholders own the funds that own Vanguard. Vanguard Marketing Corporation distributor.
I think we got kind of used to getting the court stormed on us back in college because they you know, Oregon, when they beat us at MAC court, but we got a funny story, like when Oregon stormed the court. So you know how Mac Jones and that situation in Arizona, it got me to thinking, like Mac Etienne. It got me to thinking about different moments and interaction with fans at UCLA basketball for after L's, when you take a tough L in a Tucson, in a Pullman, or I never lost a Pullman, forgive me for saying that, but when you take a tough L somewhere, right, they storm the court. Mac court, that's where they storm your ass. So they stormed us in Mac court. Literally, I'm like trying to shake the spot and get out of there. I turn and look, and I see Tyus Edney hemming dudes up, dot 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 dot, making his way, bop 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 bop, making his way. I was like, put it like this: Tyus got out of the crowd very easily and quickly, and I was surprised. I was like, that it was kind of like you and him when y'all raced that time. When he kind of gave you that look, like, Tracy, how you get over here? That's how I looked at Tyus, bro. I looked at Tyus like, dang, Tyus, how you make it through the crowd, bro? Like, what? But I saw how he made it through the crowd. I always respected that man ever since, my brother. But
that
back is, to
that Long Beach came out. That LBC came out.
Hey, the LBCZ. And you only saw it a couple of times with Tyus.
Right,
you know?
Right.
You only
right.
see it, you saw it maybe twice. You may see it twice your whole life. Yeah. You only may see it twice.
But he'll let you know. Don't let the smooth taste fool you. He'll let you know.
Not at all. But my point is, they had a reason. I felt like Oregon had a reason. We were top-ranked team in the country. We were number one.
That makes sense.
When you're number one, like, you know, when people beat us when we're number one, I get it. I totally get it. But when we're 13, 14, it's kind of like,
right. But that's why I said we weren't number one. So it didn't make sense.
Great point. Great point.
Arizona State, they ain't been good since Harden. So them storming the court, and they're who they are anyway.
And I wanted to ask you, they're
the rudest fans in the pack.
Arizona they are. State, so. They are. And
for
I was
years.
Watching the broadcast when you called it out. It was people trying to act like that didn't happen, like that like the guy didn't get something thrown at him as he's taking
a shot. Sports Center circled the doggone thing.
That's how what I'm saying, and that's what I was. But that's what I'm saying. It's like you're jumping. You guys are trying to act like Tracy's some type of UCLA homer for saying what he saw.
Right.
And I was just I'm reading the stuff like now, what he can't now, report what he saw.
Now okay. Let me clarify. It's not going to affect. The end. We were already down three. Arizona State already did enough to win it. We were wishing on a star with a bad miss, a Peyton Watson turnaround three like that, which was not going to go. So did it affect the game? No. But in any arena in America, if you throw anything on the floor, what happens?
Attack.
You get ejected.
Or the fan, a house tech on the home team.
Now, let's play the whole scenario out. If there's a technical, that's two shots.
And the ball.
With the same time on the clock. Down one. You think Bobby Hurley's not going to lose his shit and maybe get one?
Yeah.
Something to think about.
Yeah, absolutely.
He might lose his shit and get attacked because of something that he didn't see happen.
Yeah, right.
So there's a whole lot of scenarios you can play out there. But did it have an effect? on Peyton Watson's shot going in? No. No, it didn't. It wasn't going to. That was, we're wishing on a star that that shot goes in to send it into another overtime.
Yeah.
So, no, it didn't affect the game. No, it didn't affect the outcome.
But
so
it still happened.
I just needed to clarify that.
Absolutely.
But what if that – now, I've been overseas. You've been overseas. You know how it is overseas.
Yeah.
I've had water bottles, keys, coins, all kinds of stuff thrown at me.
Batteries.
There's no regulations over there where they say don't throw stuff onto the floor. But here, we don't do that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We don't do that here. Now, that, you know, it was a balled up T-shirt that hit him that was about this big. Now, did that hurt him? No. Did it affect the shot? No. Is it supposed to happen? No. That's all I was saying.
Tracy, I mean, it's like, what world are we living in where people are trying to defend fan behavior of throwing stuff during game action at a college
game? Right.
Just aside from everything we've talked about, just think about someone actually trying to rationalize that part
right.
of it.
Right.
And then let's really keep it real. The last time, not the last time, but one of the last times we saw a fan throw something that didn't hurt a player, the players ran up in the stands and they was binking cats in Detroit,
right.
in Detroit, Michigan, Auburn Hills, Michigan, Malice in the Palace, but the cup didn't hurt. The cup didn't hurt. Now, what if Peyton got hit, felt it, and went Long Beach on him?
Right.
And now you calling him a bad kid because, oh, he's supposed to play this. Like, God, no. That's
We're thinking too far. Like, I know better. I know Ron.
Yeah.
It's like he got a bad reputation off of that one incident.
He's a great guy.
And he's a great dude. It's like, come on, man. All it takes is one situation where it gets out of control, and then they try to blame the dude being crazy. Oh, he's a lunatic for going up in the stands. Why do you think Russell's always getting into it with somebody in Utah? Because Utah's one of the worst places to play when you're an opposing team because of some of the things that they call you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Russell's Absolutely. Always getting into it with somebody in Utah. And Arizona, they are the worst fans to go into their arena and play against because of some of the things that are said, possibly something being thrown at you. Now, I don't mind the, you know, behind the curtain thing. That's cool. That's funny. You know, it's distracting unless you're keeping your focus.
Sure.
That's a cool thing for the student body.
That's a staple. And that's a staple at ASU.
Different.
Yeah.
You know, and then if, you know, people, hell, I've been saying, people call me all kind of names, said I suck. That didn't bother me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It didn't bother me. They're chanting names. But U of A saying F U Tiger or F U Johnny, that's going too far, man. You know what I mean? It's like, say they suck. That's cool. We're used to being said that we suck. But start doing that stuff and you got people's parents in the stands fighting people after the game because they can't get out of the arena because they're out of control. There were some of our parents that were fighting people.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because they got into it with some of these fans in Arizona. Yeah.
It's unruly. It gets heated out there. There's no question
absolutely.
About it.
It's when a rivalry, too. People don't understand.
When you
in U of A, it's a rivalry.
And
real rivalry.
What people don't also understand is how civilized our fans are in Westwood. So it's
sit on their hands half the time. It's like
civilized. But Tracy, I mean, I don't hear I cannot imagine any opposing team person to ever experience anything like what we have to experience when we go to Pullman, Eugene,
Corvallis.
Tucson. Like the stuff that's said it's real serious, right? I'm not trying to say Mac had right to do what he did. His response was horrible. He probably should have really reconsidered doing that. If you're gonna do something, you know, you might as well, if you're gonna get caught up, you might as well, you know, get caught up. But no. But anyway, he should have just kept him pushing. But
keep your head down and keep walking through.
That being said,
you're going to be pissed off, but keep your head down and keep walking through.
That being said, fan behavior does need to be checked. It needs to be checked. And there needs to be regulations on it. You can't just say whatever you want to these, especially these college kids. That's a little different approach.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, college kids, it's like even as a broadcaster, there's certain things I'll say about college kids because they're kids. They're not pros. They're not being paid to play this game. So I'm less harsh on college players, you know, because they're kids and they're trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Now, a pro getting paid a lot of money, you can be a little bit more direct in maybe a criticism. But one thing about me, though, is I always think back to when I played and what I like, what I'm saying to about another player.
Sure.
So I'm always thinking about what I'm going to say before I say it.
Right.
Because I don't want to offend the other player, number one, even if they're pro, because I was there at one point.
Right.
So I always think about what I say before I say it.
You said something interesting just about, because I brought this up to Sean Farnham when I had him on the show. We were talking, I was asking Sean, I was like, Sean, are you going to cover guys differently with now that they're able to get paid off the NIL, or is this going to take a couple of years before we start to transition from amateur college kids to now NIL money getting, you know, pseudo pros? How do you, what are your thoughts on, Tracy, just how the NIL has either negatively or positively affected the college athletics?
Well, first of all, I just thought we should have been getting some a long time ago.
Yeah.
So
100%. Shout out to them.
And wait, shout out to Ed O'Bannon for putting his reputation on the line so they can get
his
paid.
name, and his black, and yeah, you know how they did it. You know how they doing it too with the name, you know what I mean?
Right.
So shout out to Ed.
So shout out to Ed for putting his reputation on the line for these kids to benefit from it. I'm all for it. There's been many a nights where, yes, full scholarship, didn't pay for books. I'm very thankful for all of that. But there were nights I couldn't take my girlfriend to the movies or dinner, bro, because I was broke.
For sure.
So it is what it is. The Bruin gold card can only get you so much.
$10.
Yeah, right? And I'm tired of eating fish sticks and fries. You know what I'm saying? We didn't get training table. I mean, things are a lot different now for the kids with the practice facilities, the food, you know, the nutrition, the food that's there for them to take care of their bodies and stuff. And I'm happy UCLA did that, man. You know, they have, you know, moving forward is also good for recruiting to be able to show that you're up on what's going on practice facility wise, nutrition wise, and all of that. So, shout out to them for doing that. But man, I mean, we had training table, and I'm pretty sure you guys, this is the same thing for you guys. We had training table until football season was over. Then it was like, you guys spend for yourself.
Exact same.
You know what I mean? I'm like, wait a minute, did football put 11 national championships up here? But you know, it's more of them. So they try to accommodate.
It was also during the era, let's keep it real, in the athletic department when they were rocking with football pretty heavily. Let's keep it real. Our coach wasn't necessarily the most beloved, but that's for another podcast.
I think that they're always rocking with football because football puts more butts in seats, and they're trying to fill that Rose Bowl up, and they keep trying to build that program to be where basketball is or women's softball is or women's gymnastics is, you know, where they win in national championships and stuff. But football players are going to look at football schools. We're trying to be one, but that's not our tradition. So it's going to always be a challenge to try to bring football to the forefront because that's not our tradition. Now, have we had great players come out of there?
Sure.
Absolutely. We've had some great ones come out of there. J.O., Jonathan Alden, my dude. You know what I mean? My uncle, Chris McCallister. Chris's dad, James McCallister.
Yes, sir.
God rest his soul. You know, there were some great NFL guys. Eric Turner, God rest his soul. You know, Marcus Patton, all those guys. Charles Arbuckle, guys that I went to school with. You know, Troy Aikman right before me. There's a lot of great football players that come through our school, but it's not a football school.
Mm-mm.
So guys are thinking, second guessing, or maybe we're second or third on people's, on the top guys list, because they're looking at traditionally the football powers.
Yeah.
So that's going to always be a challenge for us.
Yeah, it is. And I think that though, the new athletic director coupled with, you know, this 8-4 season, and mm-hmm. Chip Kelly's 4-year extension, I think that there's still going to be some life there. We got everybody coming back. DJT or DT Dorian Thompson Robinson, DTR, DTR, and all these dang acronyms, and then Charbonnet, Zach right. Charbonnet,
nice.
Light skinned, curly hair cat, you know, look like a Johnson. I think he's a Johnson, so I rock with him. kind of heavy, but no, I'm looking forward to the program getting back on his
feet. Those guys are all coming back, so that's a good thing, man.
Yeah,
and
that's
a great
thing.
Football. All the best, man, and I hope they do well next year.
Yo, man. But, man, hey, it's been a real conversation, brother. It's amazing to hear you talk about just your journey, man, and getting to the UCLA Hall of Fame. I've known you for years, and every time I talk to you, I always find out something kind of new and interesting about you that I didn't know from the time before, my brother. But, hey, man, you're doing a great job this year with the Bruins. We're going to be watching y'all closely, as you already know, on the check-in, and man, enjoy this Hall of Fame moment. Enjoy the glory from it, brother, because they can never take it away.
Thank you, bro. I'll tell you, there's no feeling like it. I still get goosebumps. I still, you know, I'm glad I didn't have waterworks on the podium. I was really close. If I kept looking at my mom, I would have had it, bro. I had to shift the focus. I had to turn the focus. Mom was over there just going.
And then
when I'm done, this is the crazy thing. When I'm done, I walk to my seat. And my 7-year-old is just, my dad. I'm like, come on, man, let me.
It's getting misty in here. It's getting foggy.
Right, man. So, you know, as I say again, man, it was cool for them. It's definitely an honor for me to understand fully what it is to be a UCLA Hall of Famer. And it's really, really humbling.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen. UCLA Hall of Famer, Tracy Murray. Peace out, brother.
Are you agile? Thinking of becoming agile in your career, business, and running of project engagements?
At Agile 17, we can help you unlock great potentials, all thanks to our outstanding Agile Scrum and SAFe trainings, courses that inspire optimal project management capabilities and sustainable performance and excellence, both for employees and organizations. It's affordable, accessible, and available to you. To find out more about Agile 17 services, call 469-235-1904. That's 469-235-1904. Agile 17. We train. Learn and partner.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters. Every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network. Available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.